What's up, everybody? You are now listening to This Moment, the podcast that serves as a transatlantic bridge between Stockholm, Sweden, and Harlem, USA. My name is Jason Diakite, and on today's show, me and my co-host, Chef Marcus Samuelson, continue honoring some of the Black women fighting for justice and equality in this moment, from the States to Sweden. After all, we're family, right? On our latest episode, we sat down with CNN commentator, activist, and political strategist Angela Rye. But this week, we pivot from the political strategist to the politician, from the U.S. to Sweden, as we chat with Alice Bah Kuhnke. And for our American listeners, Alice is the former Swedish Minister of Culture and is currently serving as a member of the EU Parliament for Sweden's Green Party, where she's not only a mouthpiece of justice and equality, but an example for young Black girls of what their possibilities are.
If I can be there as the Black woman, I can open the door a bit and they can see that a Black woman can say good things and be smart and maybe even be the leader of the pack.
So let's get to it, folks, in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, and thank you. What a nice introduction.
Well, of course.
I felt almost embarrassed.
Alice, I just have to say, this is the year where Black women in politics makes the difference. And we think about Stacey Abrams, and we think about people like Tamika Mulroy in the States, but you are the brightest star that we have in Sweden in politics.
Well, we don't have so many, so...
Well, that's something we definitely want to get to also. That's something we want to talk to you about, Alice.
But there is a young girl somewhere in Sweden, young, maybe 12, maybe 13, that is now thinking about, oh, politics is for me. They're speaking to me. My voice matters. My vote matters. So give us the short version about why politics, how politics, and was it always in your family?
Well, the short story goes that my father is from Gambia, and growing up, he wanted to do something more with his life. So he was listening to this radio channel called Radio Luxembourg, so far from Brussels. So he decided when listening to the music that he needed to go to New York. Mm. So he started his journey, went through the north of Africa, took the boat to Spain, and in Spain when working, picking oranges, he heard that there were a lot of work up north, work and beautiful women. So he went to Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. And when he was in Copenhagen, my mother was studying to be a teacher in Malmö. So they met one night, and my mother brought him with the boat, because there weren't any bridges then, to Malmö, and they made me the same night.
Oh, wow.
And
they didn't waste any time.
He never made it to New York. Mm. They didn't waste any time. So my father didn't go to New York for maybe like 50 years later when he got a trip from me and my brothers and sisters. So, but he always told me and my brother and my sister that we had no excuses becoming happy and doing something with our lives. And this was, for me, it wasn't a burden that he told us this every night. You have no excuses. You are being brought up in the best country in the world. You have everything for free, and people are struggling all over the world. And I think that's when I really got the sense, and through him, I got the sense of being part of something bigger. I always known that the world is bigger than the little village that I grew up in after moving from Malmö. We moved to the countryside in Småland, where my mother's family comes from since hundreds and hundreds of years back.
How old were you when you moved there?
So I was three, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So we left all our friends. We were living in Rosengård, and they were one of the first families in their house. And so we left all our friends there and moved to Småland. And when... Growing up in Småland, in this small village, you couldn't do anything else than go to the churches. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of churches. So I went to Philadelphia-kyrkan, Missionskyrkan, and the Swedish Church. And there I really got the big, I mean, then I got the whole picture. I'm raised in church. So I have an only good experience, not only good, but in 95% good experiences from church. So there I started to know more about the world and what the responsibilities that we have that have everything for free almost.
But we gotta slow this down. So we're talking about, this is a mid-70s or early 80s. So my family, we were the three black kids, not only in our block, our village, it felt like the whole city. And I grew up in a small town outside Gothenburg. You grew up in Småland, which is really tiny, tiny place. So I'm sure the Ba family, you know, you guys must have looked very different from your other friends and friends in school, right? How was that? Like, what was the impact of that?
Well, it was, for me then, it was, I mean, of course, it was strange in some way that people, or everybody knew me. And if something bad happened and they saw a black kid was part of the gang that did the bad thing, of course, I was to blame. But compared to the racism that my father met and the racism that almost stopped him, even though he kept on struggling, my childhood was a walk in the park because I was also seen as something special. Almost as I was from God given.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, no, because I am absolutely,
but you are something special,
totally
Alice.
Normal. No, but I am really, I am a 3.0. I am normal. But I was met as being special. Wow. And then if children are being met and seen as something special, then you also, you raise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, so it was like, If the newspaper, the Värnamo Nyheter, came to our village to take a picture of something, then the village said, maybe Alice should be in the picture too.
So you were a celebrity. And so the name of the village is Hulda, and it's outside Värnamo. So, and how many people lived in Hulda?
Then maybe 100, 150, I mean, and several hundred of cows. Wow. I mean, so.
Yeah. So cows outdid people, cows 7-1. Yeah.
I have to ask you about your mother, because was that a burden for her? Because we were three, we might have two older sisters, and sometimes we just went to the, you know, to our neighborhood store and just wanted to get milk and whatever, just regular stuff. And there was always a scene when all the three kids came with the funky hair and the spunky hair. And I remember my mom just fighting, not almost fighting, but always like, stand back, do not touch my daughter's hair, do not touch my son's hair. And it's like, and it wasn't always, I mean, it was friendly, it was people being curious, but it was so rare. And if you caught my mom on the wrong
day,
it could be like, dude, we're just here for milk, leave them alone, do you know what I mean? But I remember constantly seeing the feet of the village, like coming up, touching my sister's hair and stuff like that. Mm. Did your mom feel a lot of pressure about that, or how did she react to all that?
Well, no, I wouldn't say, but of course you can ask her and maybe she has a whole other story. But I wouldn't say that my mother was so troubled because she's like she's still living in her own little world. But my father, I had this crazy father. And when he saw that somebody did something to his children to minimize us or to neglect us, or in any way, he was mad. I mean, and he was so people, all the children in my age and in my brothers and sisters' classes and so on, they were afraid of our father because he was so.
This is Marcus's sound effect.
Put some respect on my name. Put some respect on the Barkunkin name. Come on.
Sometimes I felt embarrassed for him because I was ashamed that I had this crazy black father. But almost always I was also proud because I knew I was safe. He made my childhood safe. My name is Alice Bakunke, and you are listening to This Moment.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You know who also would have been proud? Jason's father would have been proud.
Yeah, yeah. Marcus knows my father well. Hearing you talk about your father, yes. Alice, it sounds like you're talking about my dad. Because I would want to just, like, shrink into my clothes and just hide. Because I'd be so ashamed that my dad was, and always in English, right? Or in super broken Swedish. Like, I remember one time we were coming out of a building. And somebody else was going in, and my dad held the door open.
Nice.
And the person just walked in, and my dad got upset.
Oh, you don't
like,
do
oh,
that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. The service is free around here. Like, yeah, I'll be your janitor. You know, like, totally unprovoked. He just got upset that somebody wasn't being, you know, courteous to him.
Yes.
And
respect.
He felt the need to, like, you know, be respected. And I was just so ashamed. And there's so many stories like that.
Yes, and I have thousands of them.
I love the fact that your father picked oranges in Spain and you are now working in the European Parliament. Mm. What a journey.
That speaks
volumes. What an incredible story. You know, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it is.
And it's also.
But that's also due to, I mean, but it's not only due to him or me, it's also due to the Swedish system. That we can go to school, we can study at university for free, more or less, and that we have all these possibilities. Sometimes people are saying, well, Sweden is like the mellanmjölkslandet. How do you say it?
Nothing extraordinary, but nothing too depressed. It's just like the everything's fine country, kind of.
Yes, everything's fine country. And it's not the same today, but growing up during the 70s and the 80s, I mean, it really took care of you. So my journey is, I say praise to the generations before us that really made these things possible. My grandmother and my grandfather and the generation before them who didn't afford to go to school, who didn't afford to study at university. This is about class and about the possibilities that a country can give you.
Absolutely.
And if you are willing then also to take the chance. And having a father from a very poor country always telling us to fight, do more, try. Yes, of course you can.
Try
and
harder.
Like, try harder, yes. And always if we came home and we were sad for something, he was like, oh, up on the horse again. Yeah. You can do it. He was like this real.
Is your dad still, are your parents still alive?
Yes, and they are still married.
They're still are they still in Huda? Or have they, you know, are they banned?
Yes.
No,
they are still. The same house.
I mean, I can just imagine, like, both your parents, obviously, but especially your dad coming from having picked oranges in Spain. You know, when you become the Minister of Culture, now you're a member of the European Parliament. Like you made it. You didn't, you know, you did try harder. You didn't use any excuses.
No, exactly. I mean, they have our parents, my mother and father, they are not the kind of parents that tells you that you are fantastic. But I know that
you
they
can see
are
it in their
proud.
Eyes.
I know. Yes, I can see it in their eyes.
My dad is the same way, you know. But you know, can see it. I can see it in the corner of his eyes when he's proud, you know.
Alice, we were very excited, me and Jason, to talk to you today. And on our way coming here, we actually drove past where Olof Palme got shot, right? And you know, for our generation, we kind of talk about Sweden pre Olof Palme got killed in Sweden and post. There's like, for me, there's like the innocence of Sweden just broke. What type of impact do you think, because you remember you were a teenager, like, what type of impact did you think that had on your family or on you? Do you remember it? Like, talk to us about it.
Yes, but we all remember it. I mean, being a politician and being a politician today in a polarized world, in a polarized Europe, in a polarized Sweden, of course, I'm well aware of the risks to take a stand. And also being a green politician, you know, the Swedish Democrats, they always point at us as their biggest enemy, which, of course, I'm proud of. But I'm also, I mean, this is a really active, I'm conscious about what I'm doing. And that this is something that I want to do. And I have talked to my husband and my children and my brother and sister and my parents about the risks I take. Because I have like the, I mean, of course, I living under threats. You do as a politician, as a green politician, as a woman, and as a black green woman.
Exactly. So, I was going to say, I mean, I think woman. The level of threat reserved for, just like you said, black woman, green, like is triple.
Yes. It's triple. But this is something, I mean, if not I who has been born and brought up in Sweden, still one of the best countries in the world. If not I am willing to take a stand for those who are the poorest in the world, who else? I mean, I think that I have been blessed with this opportunity and I'm so happy and I include the risk because it's worth it. Hopefully I won't get hurt or killed. But I know.
I also hear your dad told you every evening, you have no excuses.
Yeah.
Like you have, like,
you come through.
That's not an excuse not to step up. And you didn't, you didn't hesitate. Do you remember?
No.
Is there a eureka moment? Is there a moment where you decide to become, like, where you go from, because you start in, during the 90s, you were a TV personality, you know, from a young age, you were a TV personality and you were doing well in entertainment and then moving into some corporate positions and then into politics. Do you remember there was a moment where you were like, okay, I'm taking the step in? And what was that moment?
Well, I do, because I was, as you said, working in TV and I really had it all planned and I earned a lot of money. I had this beautiful apartment on Birger Jarlsgatan, like the big street in Stockholm. I had even a beautiful boyfriend. I had, I had everything.
It's basically but Park Avenue. If you play Monopoly, it's basically Park Avenue.
Yeah. Not really. Well, we can say that. But then I started study at Stockholm University and I started studying political science. And I remember so well sitting in these, it's quite ugly blue houses, and the F house is where the political science department is. And I remember sitting in the basement with my fellow student colleagues. And I had to go to Channel 4 to do my show. And I remember that we were into such interesting discussions about fair trade, about bananas and about the consumer power and how to change and so on. And I remember that I felt, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go to sit in the makeup chair and get all beautiful and to do the show. I want to stay to have these discussions. And this feeling, now when I'm telling you, I almost got goosebumps because that was really so, it was such a joy that I felt that this is what I want to do. I want to discuss politics. I want to be part of this change. I want to be one who really sees the effect I can have as a consumer to be able to do something good for those who are producing what I eat and so on and so forth. So that's one of the eureka moments, I guess.
So Alice, I have to ask you, because this is not a small year for politics and for, you know, black women really changed the world in many ways, but this year it really came out because, you know, Stacey Abraham basically won the election for Joe Biden, together with Kamala Harris, together with people like Angela Rye and Tamika Malroy. Now, here you are in the middle of Europe, in Brussels. Are people still confused that you represent Sweden as a black woman, or is people past that now? Does people understand that Sweden has all kinds of, are we actually a multicultural society, or are people still like, oh, are you from Sweden? Like, how does that moment of awkwardness that we all gone through in different spaces, but Jason and I do it in food or in entertainment, which kind of gives it a little bit different context, to do it in politics. Like, how does that, tell us about that.
Well, it's still that so that people can't believe that I'm from Sweden. And look at the parliament. We are 705 members of the parliament from 27 different European countries. And how do we look? We look like we all are men in our 50s, 60s and white. I mean, we are not even representative for the people in these countries, because if we are not reflecting the reality. And this is a huge problem. And this is something
The representatives of 350 million people or something like that, right?
How many women? Just break it down for us.
No more.
How many women about? 700 people. So about how many women about?
Well, I would say, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I would say among those 705, maybe 40% are women.
Okay,
30%,
so we get to...
But when it comes to people of color...
Yeah. No, but we're going to break it down. So that 40%, 30%, that's about 300 people, or 280 people and so. And then add blackness to that. Just a little bit.
It doesn't have to be exact numbers, Alice. Yeah. We're not.
Just a little bit. Just a little.
But maybe we are five.
Five.
I don't know.
How many of them are from France?
I mean, four of them.
Oh my God! So
it's just getting less and less.
But maybe we are 10. 15, maximum, and then maybe I count in somebody who's been in the sun.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, because we are not that many. So, I mean, after the Brits left us, I mean, half of us disappeared. So Great Britain was such an important actor from many perspectives within European politics. Representation is a huge issue, because it's about trust. And we have a great challenge when it comes to trust, because politics in general and politicians in general are not trusted enough. And if we don't represent the people that have elected us, then it's a big scar in the trust that politics are dependent on. So this is a huge problem. So I hope that I can inspire one girl to go into politics.
You definitely are, Alice. But right now, when we're talking to you, tell us where you are.
Well, I'm in my office, and you see the gray wall here. Mm-hmm. I'm in the parliament. Have you seen the parliament building? It's like a huge glass and metal building. Well, in the center of Brussels. I'm here. I heard the guards going through. I mean, it's even that the guards sometimes don't know that I'm an MEP. And I have been asked to show my MEP card. And I asked my colleagues. Even there.
I mean, this is something we're used to. I mean, all three of us are used to, like, if you're, I don't know, maybe I'm guessing we've all three had the experience, if you're in a shop and you're being followed by maybe the personnel in the shop to make sure that you're not shoplifting. You're getting this, but in the parliament building.
Yes.
But when I was a kid, I did, though.
Mm. You did?
You did? Yeah.
I did shoplifting.
I never did.
Do you know my
Marcus
record
is such
collection?
A bad boy.
I did have the money for the record collection. I did, though. They were right, though.
Now it's coming out. Now it's the prescribed.
Well, I did shoplift. I was the Christian scout, so I did shoplift. Mm-hmm. But well, it's the same thing here.
Listen, I have to tell you about that story, because it was I know even the moment when I stopped shoplifting. Right, there was two moments. Right,
You have stopped two times.
I just had to quit. I knew when I had to retire. It was, I had this soccer bag where I knew where I had to pull back the zipper for a single or for an LP. I had it all organized. Okay, right? We were like all soccer kids.
At least it's honorable. Yeah. It's music.
But then we went into NK to the record store. And then all of a sudden I was like, they have this like electric system. I was like, damn. People can't live anymore. I was like, what's up with this? It was much better when it was just the
this
old guy.
This was not his first time,
no.
Alice.
I was like, what happened to the guy just like standing behind the record, behind the counter, running after you? You're a teenager, he's never going to catch you. And I was like, I don't like where Sweden is heading with this electronic.
The alarm.
That's when I had to stop.
No, no,
I retire.
That's Marcus. A good risk assessment.
But I'm a bit shocked. Can we cut this part out of the...
We can cut this out. But that's the difference. Marcus wasn't destined for public office. Obviously, even at a young age, he disqualified himself.
Time... But it happened twice, right?
Oh, okay.
So the second time, so my best friend...
One
wasn't enough. So it happened, you had to learn, right? So it happened twice. So my best friend Mats, he came with me to the summer house in Smergen. And we worked and hung out for a whole summer. And we started to like shoplift like these like 5 kroner like jewelry for our little girlfriends. Mm. And then of course we're teenagers like, and we come back home. And then we're kids, right? We're kids. So Mats doesn't even unpack his own bag. Mm. So he has all these, like, I don't know, 4 kroner, 5 kroner, 10 kroner, like, jewelry in his bag. And his mom's like, What is this?
No.
She calls my dad. My dad, he hasn't even, like, left the car, basically. He's like, get back in the car. Get back in the car right now. Mm-hmm. So not only we were like, we can just call the store in Nepal. Like, It was 2 hours drive between Smergen and Gothenburg.
You're going back.
We had to go back in the car, it wasn't even jewelry to that point, right?
No, no.
We had to put it back in, drive all the way back, apologize, and that was my ending on my shoplifting career.
Good.
It was
short. Very good father.
I was embarrassed.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I'm a bit shocked. I mean, that you also stole records at Encore. I mean, oh my God. I mean, records are expensive. I mean,
I know. But yeah. I am not proud of it. But like, we're having this moment where we can share these things. 2020, and I would happy go down to Encore and repay them.
Yes.
But, it was a short-lived career.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're in the European Parliament. Tell us a bit about how, I mean, you're a public servant. You're doing service for not only for your country, but for the continent of Europe, for the world, for the people who elected you. And democracy is all about the cooperation, compromise, conversation. You know, at least this is the old picture of how I saw democracy pre the social media world of polarization and arguments and entrenchment and so forth. But I know that in the building where you work every day, of these 704 colleagues that you have, some are from countries and parties that are like diametrically opposed to what you stand for, who you are, who your family is, and what you believe in. How is it navigating your work as an elected official today when you're talking to these colleagues of yours?
Yes, it's exactly as you describe it. I mean, among those 704 others, there are fascists, there are racists, there are even Nazis, there are people from Gyllene Gryning in Greece.
The Golden Dawn from Greece, straight up Nazis.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, but you know what it does to me? And maybe that's because I feel that, I mean, we have such a huge challenge when it comes to saving this planet as a whole. I mean, not only the people within it, but the whole systems that we are dependent on. And I feel that if not being a politician now, then when?
Yeah. No, I feel exactly.
So, you know, so it's really putting fire. I mean, it's in Sweden, there are a poem called Elda under din vrede, to put fire under your anger.
Yeah.
And when I meet them in the corridor, the Nazis and the fascists from, I mean, Le Pen party in France and so, I feel so, you know.
You're on the front line.
I really feel inside of me, it's like burning up. It's like, I don't even have to ask for another,
another piece of wood to throw into that fire.
Another piece. It's like, you know, when my body sensed them coming in down the hall, it's like somebody put another piece of wood
into the fire.
And I'm like, I mean, I'm so happy. I mean, honestly, I'm so happy to be right here, right now, because I want to fight them almost physically, but that's not the way, because I'm a Democrat. I need to use the democratic tools that we have. So, I mean, you know, in my party, in Miljöpartiet, we have this rotation system. We are the only party, the only Swedish party that have this rotation system. It means that you can't be a politician more than 2 mandates. You can't be on the same level more than 2 mandates, because then you are supposed to, you have paved the way for someone else. Mm-hmm. So you have to rotate in, and then you should rotate out, because we don't believe being a politician should be a career that you can do the rest of your life. So like our former leader, he was the party leader for 2 years, for 2 mandates, Gustav. Yes, and then he went to the employment bank and searched for a job, and now he's a teacher. Because that's the way we are supposed to live and do. So I feel
it's a truly democratic tradition. Yeah.
Yes, but right now this is my time, and hopefully I can pave the way. So I feel I have to do the most I can during these years.
And you that will, I have. And I think,
Alice, can I just say thank you?
Yeah,
thank you. You know, from as somebody living in Sweden and having a child growing up in Sweden and in Europe, and for my family and all my friends that are here, thank you for doing the work that you're doing. And I can tell the passion, you know,
when you're just describing when you're walking down the corridor and meeting the Golden Dawn and Fidesz and whoever else is there.
Yes.
No. We don't mention their names, but you know, I'm so happy that you are representing
and
us.
And it's also, think about the sacrifices that you actually standardized and normalized, right? First of all, you're sacrificing, I'm sure it's not easy on your family. You know, you have three kids?
Yes.
Three kids.
Three girls.
So there's a choice right there that you guys have done as a family, and it's a sacrifice, right?
Are they with you in Brussels, or are they in Stockholm?
Yes. No, I took them with me because I try not to fly so much. So I go back to Sweden every third week, myself, by train. Mm-hmm. So I moved them here. So they go to school here. And I have a man, only one, unfortunately. I could need a bunch of them, but it's not allowed. So I have my husband, also Johannes.
Yeah, we don't know what the green part is. But think about this. I really want to go down this list because let's acknowledge that.
Yeah,
right?
So family,
that's a huge choice, right, and difficult. Then on top of it, you said it earlier, but you said it very quietly, that you're getting threatened, right? And that's not something we should standardize or normalize. That's horrible. First of all, you're a public
servant. It's anti-democratic.
But I also think that you setting such an incredible important standard, right? Because I'm fully believing that the Green Party will be the most relevant party in all of Europe, actually, because you think about what questions matters, right? Environmental is, that's the starting point. You can't, there's two things that you have to start a company today with, tech and green. Mm. If you don't have these two, you actually do not have a viable
business. No, I mean, we spend a lot of our time, and I've spent a lot of my like working time arguing for racial justice, you know, in Sweden and in the world. But even before we even get to that, the environment and the climate crisis needs to be addressed, and it's just not being. And having said all that, Alice, how do you feel? You know, okay, it wasn't an election night. It was an election process that took a long time. I'm sure we haven't seen the end of it. But how do you feel now with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris having won the U.S. election? How did that make you feel?
It makes me feel hopeful because the world wouldn't have afforded 4 more years with Donald Trump because he is really, really a disaster, and it can't be said in any other way, because he was, I mean, this is so scary, and it's almost hard to talk as a politician, because I feel so ashamed to be a politician when he is also a politician, because he is lying, he is betraying his own people, he is in company with Putin, I mean, with Erdogan, with people that really have no morals. So this is a huge problem. So I'm so happy, even though there are a lot of things that I'm not agreeing with in Joe Biden's politics. I think he's so much better. And there is hope for the world because he's a diplomat. He's a real politician. And he has promised to bring the U.S. back into the Paris Agreement.
And exactly.
So there is a chance that we can save this world.
Tell us what that means. What's the impact of the U.S. coming back into the Paris Accord?
I mean, it's huge. The Paris Agreement that the world have decided on to work towards trying to stop the global warming and press it under 2 degrees. It's like the only and the big only tool we have to maybe being able to save this planet. And when Donald Trump promised and even went to elections the first time with saying, I will get US out of this, was like, is he serious? I mean, he wasn't even responsible enough to not saying such a stupid and idiotic thing, because it was in the same time when he said that, I will take US out of the Paris Agreement, he was also saying, I will make sure that US is not part of saving the world. And then when Biden said, I'm going to elections and I will bring US back into the Paris Agreement, he gave all of us hope.
when your mandate is up, will you go back to entertainment? Will you go back to culture? What do you want to stay in politics?
It's still a long time.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, you're thinking
there's
about
a good
it.
Many years left.
No, but how
have
you thought about it?
We need her on the front lines,
Mark. No, have you thought about it?
No, yes, of course I have thought about it. And there are so many things. I mean, first of all, I really want to underline that this is something that I am very well aware of. Also being a green politician, I can't be here and I don't want to be here forever. I want to pave the way for others. So I think I will go into agriculture because you know what? We need to what's it called in English? Odla.
Cultivate.
So cultivate. We need to cultivate more things that grows that we can eat. And right now we are self-sufficient enough.
We're dependent on imports and we're dependent on goods that have to travel a long way.
Yes, and I would like to be a farmer. So I have looked up where I could buy a farm. And
are you going back to Värnamo?
No, unfortunately, it won't be Småland.
No, not back to Värnamo.
No, it will be Jämtland. Have you been in Jämtland?
Oh, wow. Yeah, of course. It's a beautiful part of the beginning of the north.
Yeah, it's also very well much. So I would like to be a farmer. Original sweets are from.
Yes, and I would like to be a farmer.
But the three of us, as black people in Sweden, we also have to acknowledge our privileges. And we very often invited into many places where a lot of people like us are not invited into. Mm. And, you know, I remember a very pivotal moment for myself was when the year when Toni Morrison won the Nobel Prize in
literature.
And she looked like this incredible queen in her dreadlocks, and she stood out. Here's this black queen among just an ocean sea of men, basically. And just prepared for this interview, there's this amazing picture of you at a Nobel dinner, you know, where this is about 25 to 30 years later, but the number of black women haven't increased. And you stand out like this beautiful flower at that dinner. And I was happy that it was you, there was a sense of progress and lineage. But I was also disappointed that 30 years later, that blackness didn't enter in our own country where we can all look at privileges and progress, you know. And I think about that very often, the rooms that we are very fortunate to be invited into. You know, I've cook for the Obamas, for the Clinton, for Joe Biden, for all of them. I'm invited into all these places. You know, Jason, when he performed, I mean, this is incredible performance with Jason. Maybe you were there when he performs Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al. And I looked through the audiences, you know, Jason just does an incredible performance. But yet there's not a lot of people looking like us. When you go into space like that, I know you're aware of your presence and how you look, but you're also not representing yourself. You're representing, of course, your daughters, but you're also representing other black women and girls.
Yes.
How does that make you feel, like the only one in the room? We all know this feeling.
Yes.
The only one in the room.
Well, today it make me feel proud. I'm proud that I can make and be the change. Not sad, of course, that's a fact. But I'm so well aware of the racism and the discrimination, and it's my daily fights. So I'm thinking that, I mean, sometimes people tell me, oh, do you really want to be the only black woman around that table? Isn't it like you,
token.
Yes, like a token. They just represent. They only have you there because you are black and a woman. I say they can have me there for any reason. I will be there just to make.
It's what you do when you're in
Yes, it's what I do when in there. And if I can be there as the black woman, I can open the door a bit, and they can see that a black woman can say good things and be smart, and maybe even be the leader of the pack. So I try. I always aim for being the chair of the meeting, to be the one who holds the presentation, and to make sure that I am really Because, yes, as you said, Marcus, I'm representing so much more just because the color of my skin. So, I mean...
And you can't, it's too early to gauge the amount of young girls and boys who look like you, who look like us, who are seeing you in that room and who have seen you on TV and giving speeches and talking, who are thinking, one day that could be me.
Yes. And I think,
but 5, 10, 15 years from now, we'll have politicians who will testament to, well, I saw Alice Ba when I was growing up, and that made me realize it was possible.
But it won't happen without a fight. And this is, I mean, and I think this is so important to acknowledge, because they were saying the same thing 20 years ago and 30 years ago, and still we are not represented in the numbers that we should be. I mean, if you just were counting, because all knowledge and all powers doesn't come in a white man in his 50s. I mean, there's so much knowledge. I mean, the discrimination is a big problem in Europe. After, you know, when George Floyd was killed, I raised the issue in the Bureau of the Greens in the Parliament to do a resolution. A resolution is the strongest tool we have when we condemn things. And I said that we should do a resolution to condemn the police violence in the U.S. And first of all, oh, no, the other groups won't agree with this, the Social Democrats and the Conservatives and the racists, you know, the other ones in the Parliament. And I said, well, let's try. Let's try. And we shouldn't stop there, I said. We should condemn the police violence in the U.S., but we should also say that we have problems, the same problems in Europe. And then they said, oh, they will definitely do not agree with that, Alice. And I said, let's try. And then I went to have coffees with so many white men in this house. And I told them, I mean, because there are good conservative people, there are good social democrats. So I talked, and then we should vote. And we voted this resolution in a broad majority. So, for the first time, the European Parliament condemned the police violence in the US, but also put the light on the racism in Europe. I mean, and why I'm telling this is that this story shows that it is possible to do a change. I mean, I think that why I raised this issue first in the Bureau of the Greens was because I felt so appointed. I felt that George Floyd and all women and men and all people being killed because of the color of the skin and because of the racism that is structured and puts the oppression on people, I felt that they are pointing at me, and I need to be their voice in the rooms that I have had the possibility to be in. And so, I mean...
Being the only one.
Being the only one. Yes, exactly. So being the only one, it could be a burden, but it could also be possibilities. Great possibilities.
Yeah, no.
And we have to take these chances.
And you look at what just recently happened in France with the music producer who was brutalized by the police and the law that the French aim to pass. And it's just painfully obvious. I mean, myself... spent all summer talking to people in Sweden who are saying, well, at least Sweden is not as bad as the United States, or Europe is not as bad as the United States. I said, no, it's not as bad. You know, you might not get killed by the police, you know, in the same number that black and brown people in the United States are, but the same oppressive mechanisms exist here too.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm realizing in Sweden now that there's a lot of blowback to saying, even saying Black Lives Matter in Sweden is controversial.
Yes.
And they say, oh, this is left-wing politics. Yes. I'm like,
Show them, Alice. Don't push.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Show them, Alice. You are our guest.
No, you are our guest. You're absolutely right. I mean, and people and the powers are getting so threatened when we are saying that. Because, I say it all the time, no, you can't just, I mean, the American context is American, but we have a European context, and we have had slavery. I mean, we have the Netherlands, the French.
Let's not forget who started transatlantic slavery.
Exactly. Yeah. And even Sweden had a colony over there. I mean, so, absolutely. I mean, this is structured racism and discrimination is a problem. And if we can't even say it, then that puts really the light on the problem.
And that's something where the United States has gone a lot further than Europe and Sweden.
No, absolutely.
The fact that to be able to acknowledge it and that there are people.
And it's push and pull. Without what good things happens without a push and pull? But I just think like the three things I want to say that I think is the main thing. First of all, this interview is so great because the tonality has the most beautiful Swinglish in the world. I love that. But your African, your Gambian side comes through your hands. Like you are beating us through the machine. Yeah, go for it. So I'm so proud of your father. So that is like, that is amazing.
And mother. And small.
And small. Exactly. Sorry. Yeah. Exactly. But then can you give us, what are the three things, if you could give a young Alice or a young person in Sweden today, a woman, advice, like so we can really... We have acknowledged a problem, but I also would love to give some, what are three solutions that work for you?
Well, I would say organize, get information, like really, as organize with others. When I was young, I often felt that I had to be strong myself. And sometimes I even tried to do things by myself. But then I found out that I was much more successful when I joined others and when we did things together. So to get organized is one advice, because the challenges are so many and they are so big. So we need to be many. We are stronger together. So get organized. I would also say that that don't be embarrassed that you are driven by anger. I'm so driven by anger. Wow. I'm so mad.
That's that wood on the fire,
yes.
Right? It's about what you do with the anger.
Yes.
It's about how you use the anger.
Exactly. Yes.
I haven't heard it like that. I love that.
Yes.
So don't be upset.
No, don't be embarrassed because people tell you that's not good driving force to be angry. It should be something else. I said, no. Hell no. I'm angry. And I will keep on being angry.
Yeah. I can tell.
I think it's so important.
Love that.
It's my anger.
But that's what fuels, that's a part of the fuel for your passion.
Yes.
That's so obviously there.
Yes, and sometimes when I really have those enemies around me, if I didn't have my anger then, I would be a wet fleck, what's it called? I would be...
Just a wet spot.
Like, it would be
puddle.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But my anger is my surviving kit. It's to fight. So,
nice.
So don't be...
And the third thing. And
the third thing. Get organized, the anger, and...
love that, that you're really highlighting that.
I would say...
That's warrior spirit.
But I would say, make sure that you know your priorities, so that you don't lose yourself on the way. I'm very, you know, my brother and my sister, they are the greatest gift. And, you know, I have children also, but my brother and my sister is not, I mean.
And where are you in the syskonskala?
I'm the oldest sister, then
okay.
I have a brother, then I have a sister. And now, of course, they are in the 40s, and so they are big also. But I've always told my parents that the greatest gift they've given to me, no matter how, the Christmas gifts and so on, it's my brother and my sister. And we try to keep each other tight. We have this chat, so we talk every day. And I can, so they give me also the sense of belonging. I know where I come from. I'm their big sister, and they my little brother and my little sister. So that's, I also think, is very important. So know your priorities. Get your priorities straight so you know where you can get fuel and where you can rest. You know, when I am, sometimes I just go home to my brother. He lives in the north of Stockholm. And just, I can be totally myself. He doesn't demand anything from me. I can be quiet or just eat or do whatever. I love being with my brother and sister because we are the same. So, well, that's
your family.
Yes.
But Alice, before we let you go back to the very important work that you do every day, tell us, like, looking ahead, January 2021, the first quarter of 2021 might be the most difficult quarter of this entire pandemic, or, you know,
yes,
it may very well be. Like, we're far from out of the woods. What do you see as, like, and speaking of priorities, what is your main priority for the coming couple of months as far as work and what you want to push for and change?
I mean, we have to face the fact that, unfortunately, and this is something I try not to speak about with my children because it's such a rough reality, we don't have so much time. And if we really want to save this planet for the coming generations, for the future generations, we need to do so much more and we need to raise to the occasion. And that's why it's so important to organize, because maybe you can't be the strongest every day all the time, but now we need fighters. We need people who are determined to make a change. So we need to move. When I feel tired, I need to go to rest, but then someone else, then you, Jason, you should go for in front. And then when you're tired, then Marcus go. So we need to organize and really be up for the fight, because we must make it through this pandemic. And the worst thing, another pandemic is waiting. So this is a new dark reality. And that's why we need to do more and do better. And we need to also prioritize to make sure that we are taking the fights that we need to take right now. And right now we have the emissions that is needed to go down. I mean, and because also people are fleeing, you know, there are more people fleeing than ever. And they are fleeing also because of the global heating. So we need to do so much more to make sure that we end the suffering. People, children are dying on the Greek islands right now when we speak.
I mean, Chomsky said last year that the refugee crisis of 2015 is just a dress rehearsal for when you have, for example, a third of Bangladesh underwater and you have 100 million people trying to get into Europe.
Exactly.
Well, Alice, I want two things. One of the things that being the only one in the room really fueled me. I didn't even think you made me think about it from a different place. And that's why I've seen guests. I really appreciate that. And my thing about being a black chef, it always was the drive forces of eventually not being the only one, right? So I remember when you came to Red Rooster, and I was just thinking about it today. I wonder if Alice noticed, because you were there with a lot of other people, that she entered a restaurant for the first time. I knew it was your first time. And I knew, without knowing all your experiences, that's the first time that you entered a restaurant that you were part of the majority. The majority of the guests are black. The majority of the guests of our guests are women. And you sat in the booth. I remember the booth you sat, and you sat with all these people. And I was like, that was something that it's so interesting what people can take from your experience. We met very briefly, and you were super busy, but I was like, this experience is so much part of the why I became a chef and the changes that you can create. You know what I mean? And, you know, my why, I share my why with Jason, although he has a different medium and a completely different, but yet I share so much of my why with you, and I share my why with you. Then how we go about it is obviously very, very different. We're so proud of you.
Yeah.
And I apologize for my shoplifting circa 1984.
But that's why you cook the food.
But I agree with your father. If they ever speak bad about you, put some respect on the name. Put some respect on the name. I respect that. I really, really respect that.
Alice, again, thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you for coming on our show and taking time out of your busy day. And thank you for being a warrior on the front line for all of us. Really and truly, it was an honor to speak to you.
Thank you.
And I just wish you all all of the best. Bless, and bless. I hope that you get to take a vacation in your brother's couch all over Christmas. Yes. You don't have to see any Nazis in the hallways. No. And you can just chill, you know. Yes. That's what I hope for you, so that when January comes and 2021 rolls around, you're ready for it. I know you will be. Thank you.
Thank you so much, boss.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Jag älskar bara din energi. Alltså, jag bara säger det, Alice. More of that. Yes. Boyka.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. Next week on This Moment, we catch up with Black Lives Matter Sweden founder, Isatu Aisha Jones.
For those that know Sweden, Örebro is one of the places where the Nazis grew strong very fast and very quick in the 90s. Mm. So we used to run as soon as we saw them. And I'm like, no, I've been running my whole life. I'm done with it. Like, now y'all are going to run from me.
Don't miss it, folks. Peace.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.